Hello, everyone, and welcome back to episode 22 of WP Cafe with me, Mark Wilkinson, and
me, Keith Devon.
Hi, Keith.
Mark, you all right?
I am very well. The weather outside is gorgeous, and it's been gorgeous for the last couple of days, which has been really nice, actually. And it's supposed to be hot tomorrow as well, which is going to be good. What about
you?
Yeah,
nice. Yeah, lovely, lovely weather down here recently. A bit windy. Living near the coast, but nice and warm. It's been really good. Been enjoying it.
Good. So we've got a few things to discuss in today's episode. Before we start, if you're watching along on YouTube, thank you very much. And if you have a question for us, then please use the chat because we like answering people's questions, or certainly trying to answer people's questions.
Yeah.
Also to create some discussion. Let us know who you are and where you're from. And if you haven't already subscribed to our channel, then please consider doing so if you want to listen to more of these episodes. And if you ring that little bell, it will notify you when there is a new one. So, Keith, what are we talking about first today?
Probably our little handles at the bottom of the screen, which people won't be able to see if they're listening to the podcast, but. Beside my name, it says the feisty one, and beside Mark's, it says the calm one. So this came from, I think, the first time we've ever been kind of reviewed or written up as a show, as far as I'm aware. Actually, I think we got mentioned in the tavern once, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
We talked about, but this is a proper,
that was
like...
That was an upcoming mention, as in, like, is happening, rather than this has happened and this is what we witnessed. That makes sense.
That's right. So where did we get reviewed again? WP Kingdom or something like that?
Themes Kingdom. Did a little Kingdom. Post about us. I think it was the last but one episode. Might be wrong. I don't know whether it's the last episode. I think it was
It was one before, I think.
And in the review, they mentioned that Keith was the feisty one and I was the calm one. So I think I'm all right with it. But...
it made us chuckle anyway, didn't it? I don't mind that.
It was good. It was overall positive, actually. It was good.
Yeah, it was mostly talking about our feelings about the direction of WordPress and the CSS issues and markup issues and stuff. So,
which is ongoing. Absolutely. We mentioned it in the last episode, but I think that was episode 20 where we kind of first mentioned that, I think, which is why I think it was that episode that they reviewed. But I'm sure we'll mention it again because it is consistently coming up. We literally just had a call with the client before this and it came up again with that one.
Yeah. Like,
some things have changed and we didn't really know about them and then we had to fix them, etc. So I'm sure that is a consistent topic that we can keep talking about. And if you've got any questions on that issue or you've got any comments about WordPress's direction in terms of block markup and CSS changes and classes and the things we were chatting about, let us know. You can contact us on Twitter if you like as well. We are at WPMark, at Keith Devon, or you can get us at WP Cafe Show. Any of
those.
Very
good.
We'll find their way to us. So, market size is the next topic.
Yeah. Do tell. So this came... from a short kind of monologue podcast stroke rant by Matt Medeiros. So Matt Medeiros of Match Report fame and WP Minute or the WP Minute fame. So Matt's been, I think he's the first WordPress podcaster that I ever listened to. And I must have started listening to him about 12 years ago. I don't know. It's quite a while ago. That long ago. Yeah, probably one of the first podcasts I actually ever listened to was the Matt Report.
Around, then, probably.
Yeah, so he's the OG, they would say, of the WordPress podcast world. So I love listening to Matt, and his shows are always great. But he was having a bit of a rant. I felt like it was a little bit... what's the right word? I found it a little bit hard to follow exactly what he was ranting about. But I think it was generally for like support in the WordPress space for podcasts like his, which actually are important because they are like independent voices within the marketplace, but focused more at WordPress professionals. And he was saying it's easy to get big audiences and lots of support for like tutorial channels on YouTube and stuff like that. But for kind of WordPress professional audiences, it's hard. But he thinks important, which I agree with. He was talking specifically around like sponsorship, I think, of WordCamp Europe and how he had to jump through loads of hoops to become like a media partner, and he fulfilled all his obligations, and lots of other people who were also media partners didn't appear to fulfill their obligations, and he didn't really get anything back from it, and he just felt a bit, his nose was put on a joint a little bit by the whole experience. But a couple of things he said on the show interested me. One of them was that he estimated that the market size for his type of show, and I guess that sort of means our type of show as well, is about 8,000.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think initially that felt pretty small to me. 8,000 WordPress professionals.
His audience is WordPress professionals. That's developers, designers, people that use WordPress.
Agency owners. Just,
right, yeah. So it's across the spectrum of different job roles within WordPress.
I think it's not users. People that make money using WordPress, building WordPress sites, hosts, whatever, or in the ecosystem making money rather than users, I think.
Yeah, it just seemed quite small, that, to me.
And on Twitter, I think I asked how it was calculated, and he like gave an answer, but it was still, it's a lot of guesswork, and obviously it has to be guesswork. But yeah, I thought that was interesting. It's small, and you can see,
8,000 is, it seems a small number, but if you actually got 8,000 people listening to you, that's quite a large number, if that makes sense. Like, that's a lot of listeners or a lot of watchers.
Yeah, but he kind of compared it to some YouTube channels, for instance. I think like WP Toots or whatever, and these kind of like how to do things with WordPress channels, and they get mega views. So there's a massive market for that because there's way more WordPress users than there are WordPress developers or professionals, which makes sense because that's who the product is for. But yeah, just thought that was interesting. And then the other thing he said on the show that I thought was kind of interesting was he kind of broke WordPress podcasts down into two categories, I believe, and I think the two categories were tutorial based shows and news based shows. And I was thinking, where do we fit into that? Because I don't think we're either of those things. Certainly not. We do some tutorials on our channel for developers,
but not on our podcast. I would have thought a tutorial on a podcast is not easy to do.
That's a good point. Maybe he wasn't talking specifically about podcasts. In that case, it was like podcast stroke YouTube channels.
We're very much kind of a mix, really. I guess this particular podcast is more opinions and experiences of being WordPress professionals.
Yeah.
And then discussion around those sorts of issues that we see and come up with day to day. But obviously on our YouTube channel, we do a lot of tutorials, like, and usually that's kind of like you did one, was it yesterday on, I can't remember what it was now. It was on something to do with, putting a style in an image block, wasn't it? So that it looks a bit like a browser window.
Yep.
So that sort of thing. Hey, I'm working on this and I thought this was cool, so I'd share it with people type thing. And this is how I did it.
Yeah.
We do lots of things like that. That's kind of where we sit. But yeah,
and then really I feel used, like, we're definitely not news because we're not reporting. Like we're not doing investigative journalism and like reporting a story. It's very much like opinion, if anything. And
It's like WordPress 6 is released and these are the features that we thought were cool, which is our opinion, and this is what we didn't like, and this caused us problems and this was awesome type thing, isn't it? Yeah.
Yep. So yeah, just thought that was all interesting to kind of like hear how someone like Matt kind of thought about the space. That it's difficult as well because Matt's doing this professionally. Like he's a professional and you can tell because he's very, very good. Yeah. And it must be a little bit difficult, I guess, maybe if he sees shows like this. And we're not, you know, we're kind of having a go. We're not particularly looking for sponsorship. We're not, you know, we're kind of doing this for fun. And I guess the market is so small that he's probably thinking, oh God, not another little WordPress show, like eating into my 8,000 potential. But he'll get them because he's good.
Yeah, but then if he's doing it commercially, surely he should be able to back himself that it'll be better than what we're doing.
Yeah, and different, you know.
Exactly. So, and different.
Yeah.
Like we just said, we're not doing what he's doing for a start. No. So.
And especially like the WP Minute stuff for his is WordPress News. That's his WordPress News show.
Yeah.
And then the Matt Report is, well, be interested to see how he categorizes the Matt Report because neither. So anyway, just thought that was interesting and always like to hear what Matt has to say.
That's good. That was interesting.
Moving on. Intrigues
me.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're building a new website for us, finally. Well, I'll say we, mainly you, to be honest, because it's just kind of using
so far. Editing. Yeah.
I'm sure I'll get involved at some point. I don't quite know how, but it's. I don't know if you follow Keith on Twitter, you will have seen he's tweeted some like little bits and bobs that we're putting in it, with like some questions and things, getting people's opinions, which is nice to see. But you've shown me what you've done so far, and I think it looks great.
Thank you.
I think we're going for sort of like simple, but what's the word? Like, just
I want.
I'm not.
There's
designer,
a kind of
these words.
A clean,
clean,
like
yeah.
really. I hope it's going to look really like professional, but we were talking yesterday about the fact that I want to add a little bit of humanity to it as well. So it's not too digital and not too corporate. You know, there's a little bit of,
it's a balance, isn't there?
Yeah, it is a balance. Like we, you know, we'll put some pictures of us in there, but I don't want it to be too clinical because I think part of the advantage of working with us is that we're a small team and it's very face to face, and we have lots of calls, video calls with clients and things. So it's not we're not just some corporate machine. So I think it's really important that our website doesn't make us look like a corporate machine, because I don't want our website to pretend to be something that we're not. So I was trying to think of some ways to add a bit more of a human touch to the website. So I think we're going to use some handwriting fonts potentially, not much, because I think that would look terrible, like not as body copy or anything like that, but a few little touches and maybe a few little kind of scribbly type graphics and things like that here and there. But just experimenting with things at the minute. But if you're interested, you can follow me on Twitter, because I've started to post the work in progress.
It's good, it's actually seeing like little sneak previews of stuff. When Keith posts it on Twitter, I haven't even seen it, so you're getting just as much of a sneak preview as I am. It's nice to sort of follow along, though. It's nice to see you excited about it as well, like when trying things and like excited to show like what you've done and stuff. I think that's really cool when you're like, I've done this and it looks really cool. And then,
speaking of which, and this is something that we didn't have on our list of things to chat about today, is the social media image generator that you've been working on. Should we save that for another day, or do you want to?
I think we should save that for another day, because it's not ready yet and I want to make sure it's working properly and actually does exactly what it should do. But it's coming soon. So
we were both doing little show and tells with each other yesterday. So it was we were both quite excited about what we were working on, and that's what Mark had been working on. So it's been fun.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been good. So that's coming along. Hopefully that'll get live soon. The reason for our rebuilding of the website is twofold. One, it's about time it needs to be done, because the other one is it's got some issues that we need to fix. And the other one is that we are kind of refocusing our audience to building websites for recruitment agencies and recruiters. So basically some of the products we've got are in that space, as I'm sure people that follow us know, and therefore it would be nice to sort of repurpose the website to be more aimed at that market, which is what the new website is going to be.
And we want to use the block editor,
of course, because we don't have the other one wasn't out. So that's a new website, which brings us on to the next topic in the list, which is and again we tweeted about this as well, a CRM, customer relationship management, is that what it stands for? Manager?
Oh my goodness, I think so. Yeah, it
must be. Everyone just knows it's CRM, but what does it actually mean?
The reason why
we would think about this is because followers of us will know that we have a product called Job Relay, which we sell, and
we now have quite a lot of customers. And as you know, it's just the two of us. It's actually mainly been me that deals with the product and the customers and the setups. And when you've got over 150 customers, it does start to get a little bit overwhelming with support tickets, with new customers, with sales. And we had a chat yesterday, me and Keith, that I was just getting a bit, my inbox is just constantly pinging with information and things from customers, which is good, obviously, because it means things are going well. But I wondered if there was something out there that would help me manage those customers or those clients. And obviously a CRM was the first thing that sprung to mind. My worry with this, and it's my worry with things like project management software, is that they add another layer of complexity that you then have to get through. And probably once you've got through that, it's easier. But getting through that layer of additional stuff to do and additional complexity is often quite difficult. It's a big barrier to jump over. So I just wondered if anyone had any recommendations maybe for something that is easy to use and that does a good job. What would we want it to do is the question, I guess, really, before you can recommend it.
Yeah. So I did put a tweet out about this. I think one of the key things for us is that there's a central place where we can see the entire history of the relationship. So what, you know, when it started, the type of integration, you know, we've got some kind of metadata around each kind of customer. But then the conversation that happens from that point on, so that, you know, maybe I can jump in when you're on holiday, or if we start to split the load a little bit more evenly, then, you know, I can jump in when I've got some free time and I can see the history of what's happened, and I get context, and, you know, all the information is like at my fingertips rather than having to dig around here and there. And I think that's the main thing
as well, because I was saying to you, like, sometimes I get emails in my inbox now and it's actually from customers that are like currently active in terms of the in the integration stage, not necessarily that were integrated 10 months ago. And because I'm dealing with so many, I'm finding myself like, I can't remember what we've done, and I can't remember like what was the URL and who was the developer, and it just becomes really difficult. Whereas having it in one place with all that information would be great.
So
something that like collected all those email conversations would be great in one place.
Exactly.
Sounds really hard, though. I don't know if they'd actually do that.
No, you can. It looks like you can. So, in response to my tweet, there were quite a few recommendations. One that came up a lot, and I was sort of surprised, not because it's not a good tool, but HubSpot. Yep. A lot of people have talked about HubSpot. So, it's obviously if you don't know, you don't know, but it's a massive player in that market. A huge company, and they released a free tier, I think about a year ago or something like that. So it looks like it scales up quite nicely. So that could be a really good option if it, you know, ticks those boxes that we need to tick. I've been looking at Pipedrive for a while, but I think it's more sales oriented, and I don't know if it'll work as an ongoing like CRM. It feels more like a sales based CRM. But I'll definitely look at that again. I got an email from Amit Sarda, who saw my tweet, and he emailed me a whole load of recommendations, and he's done a blog post about comparing CRMs, and he says he loves Pipedrive. But he says, you know, what did he say? So Pipedrive, Capsule, Close, Fresh Sales, Go High Level, Streak CRM, HubSpot CRM. So yeah, thank you Hamid for the email. It's like really great. So yeah, lots of things to consider. It's gonna be a tricky one, I think, to decide on. I think we're gonna have to go for a month or two and see how it goes.
Yeah, definitely. But that's my worry, because then you've got data in there as well, and then you've got data somewhere else, and then it's really difficult to do. And I don't know, CRMs, it's one of those things you land on the websites and I just generally walk away thinking, what do you do? I don't know what your system does.
It's hard.
You have all these fancy words, marketing hub, sales hub, service hub, but what does it actually do, like, for me?
Yeah.
And I feel that
maybe you just need to have a demo. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I get it is probably hard to explain, but
I think so.
It's
an interesting few comments here from Steve. Thanks for joining us, Steve. So I'll just bring them up on screen and read them out. He says, I use Things, so that Things must be an app of some kind, for quick capture of to-dos. Then anything more than a quick task gets added to Jira. And he says, which I keep very simple so I don't go down that rabbit hole. So I think I've been exposed to Jira like once working with another agency and it looked like a beast. And I've heard nothing but terrible things. And then he says, Each task in Jira is linked to Git commits, etc., and Clockify for time tracking. Commits are added on tasks for history. I've tried pretty much every app in this area and it's so easy to get caught up in perfecting the right system. Important to remember that it's about getting things done. I think that was Mark's point earlier. These tools can become a task all of their own.
That's what worries me.
Yeah. But we need something.
We were chatting yesterday, weren't we? And they ended up saying to them, like, what is your to-do list? And we both said our to-do list is still in 2022 our email inbox. That's your to-do list. If you've left an email in there, it needs dealing with. And everyone's got all these tools that's supposed to solve this problem. And actually, I bet if you talk to a lot of people, their inbox is still the to-do list.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there you go.
There's a comment there from Yakia says, can anyone ask anything? Well, yeah, but keep it like WordPress or websites would be good, I think.
Yeah, interested to see what the next question is. bring it on, Yakia. Yeah.
So that's the CRM. So hopefully if we find one and we'll give one a go, then we will report back and let you know how it went or didn't go or whatever. Anyway, we'll see. We're nearly finished. Last thing on our list is at the weekend, we are actually for the first time in about 2.5 years meeting up, myself and Keith, which would be nice. And we have got, I think it's 2 or 3 days, isn't it? In just north of the Cotswolds, which should be nice. Hopefully the weather will start this. Have a barbecue.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have a barbecue. Have a barbecue, actually. I was looking at the Airbnb the other day. I think there's a barbecue outside.
Nice.
What should we do on this retreat, Keith? What would be the best use of the time that we have got together? Any suggestions as well would be good.
Yeah, I keep thinking about this, and I think it comes down to the choice between going really deep on like one major thing or trying to cover lots of ground and like kind of move a lot of little things forward. So I've got a list now of things we could do. Like our website is a big one. I think if we could get that actually launched would be an amazing achievement, and maybe that's our number one to do. But I think if we solely focus on that for 3 days, we might burn out on that a little bit. So maybe we have like a primary goal of the website and then like a couple of secondary goals that we can just like kind of push forward slightly.
I think I'm more of the opinion that it should be getting something done rather than touching on 4 or 5 things.
Right.
You know, actually like just so you can come away thinking about we've done that thing. We wanted to do that thing. Whether it's like writing a document to help us do something or whether it's finishing the website, that might be a little bit too big. I don't know. That sort of thing. Just like, just get something done that we need to get done. I think would be good. But the website does seem to keep cropping up because obviously we want to do other things that rely on that being in the right state. Like we've talked about writing blog posts and things that we want to write, which are either to do with our product or set our niche now. So it'd be good to get that right. Then we don't have to put them on the old blog and so on. So I think that's probably top of the list. If we've got a list of things to do, is to get some of that sorted out.
I agree.
We can get that launched, hopefully.
Agreed.
In the very near future.
Exciting. We've got a question. Yakir came back.
Go for it.
I'll read it. Do you have any tips for full stack devs working with WordPress about how to generate income as a freelance WordPress developer? What a question. Thanks for the question, by the way. It's a beast.
Big question.
Go for it, Mark.
Thanks. Full stack, I assume, meaning front and back end.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was a freelancer, which was many moons ago now, the way I found myself moving forward quicker was when I specialized in something that either no one else did or that few others did. And for me, that was doing integrations with multi-posting job board systems, such as the ones that we have now with Job Relay. Now, that's not to say that I didn't do other stuff, but when I look back on it, that was the thing that made you stand out. And actually, people wanted to work with you because you had the expertise in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can find something that is a niche for you and that is something that you are good at doing and people want, then I think that's where you will take off quicker down the line in terms of being a better freelance person, not necessarily web developer, because that's not actually, it's about business, isn't it? And it's about making money at the end of the day. And I think that's where you'll end up being a better developer. If you can find something that you're doing that others aren't doing, or you're doing better than everybody else, and you can then market yourself as that person.
Yep. Yeah, I think you said the key word there, and the key word's niche, isn't it? There's an awful lot of WordPress developers in the world. Varying quality and ability and experience, etc., but an awful lot of generalist WordPress developers. So if you can find that niche, and niches can be anything. So niches can be geographical. You know, you can be the most well-known person in your town. If you just want to build out websites directly for clients, you could be really specialized at working with agencies to solve a particular problem. You could be specialized in a specific industry, like you had your recruitment integrations thing, which is still working well for us today. So there's all that stuff, but figure out what you're good at and what you like doing, and then figure out who values that the most, and then try to work for them, I guess. But then there's also exposure, and I think you were good at this and I was okay at this whenever we were freelancers, but giving talks at meetups and conferences and wherever you can. You see this all the time. Someone kind of new comes onto the scene and they just blitz through the WordCamp and WordPress meetup space, and then suddenly their name's just everywhere. That really works. That's how we met, because I was actually running the event and you were speaking at it. So, or maybe I wasn't running it then, but yeah, you were speaking at it. So that really works. Sharing what you're doing, sharing your work on Twitter would be great. Connecting with people on Twitter, engaging in those conversations would work really well.
I see a lot of people worry about sharing stuff, but actually 95% of the time, just share it. Like there's no secrets really. It'll do you more good sharing stuff than it will do not sharing it, because you think you're going to give something away.
Yeah, and the thing about giving the talks, I think one of the things puts a lot of people off, well, sometimes people just find it really difficult, like me.
Yeah.
Like I'm very introverted, and I find that kind of stuff really, really hard. But I did it enough that it kind of became a little bit easier. But also people have that imposter syndrome thing. It's like, I've only been doing this for X amount of time. What could I possibly say that someone can learn from? You always know something that someone else doesn't know.
Absolutely.
Like always, always, always. So
a WordCamp talk that I have been to that I haven't learned something that I didn't know, whoever was speaking, like something.
Yeah.
So,
and yep. If you don't like talking, get involved in organizing an event instead. You know, there's so many ways you can just become integrated in the community. Hopefully that's helpful.
That might not necessarily be in the WordPress community space. That might be in your niches community space. So if you're building websites for vets, for example, then it might be that you go and sit in that space and go and talk at other events there. It doesn't have to be in the WordPress space. But the same sort of principles apply wherever that might be, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Hope that was useful. We've got one more question, I think, then we'll call it a day.
Yep.
from Exalams. Hello again. I think you posted a question on one of our previous shows, so thanks for tuning in again. And he says, do you think headless WordPress is going to be the way forward or just a fad? I have no idea because I have not built a headless WordPress website and I don't know a whole lot about it. I still haven't been convinced of the benefits outweighing the kind of hoops that you have to jump through. But people that go down that route seem to absolutely swear by it. My guess is that they'll like coexist for a very long time. And for some situations, headless is the way forward. For some situations, standard kind of stack is the way forward.
I think, from my personal point of view, is that I can't really see why we would ever want to build a headless WordPress site. There's no real need for it. We can do everything we want to with WordPress. Having said that, there are lots of far, far cleverer people than me and far bigger agencies than us who build awesome headless WordPress stuff. So if they're doing it, then they can't, you know, it must be the right thing for them. So I don't think there's a yes or no. I don't think there's a right or wrong. I think it's why build a headless site? What's the reason for it? Why is it going to be right for your project? And then you've got to weigh up the pros and cons. But I think if you can't come up with a reason and you're building a headless WordPress site because it's the trend and it's the cool thing to do, you probably don't need to build it the normal way, I would guess.
Yeah. Great. Let's wrap up there then. So thank you everyone who watched and listened. If you did enjoy the show on YouTube, we would very much appreciate a little like. That really helps. We don't get very many of them, so any little one is very much appreciated. Comments also, like, you know, we've had some comments during the show, comments after the show. We always do our best to respond to. So if you've got a follow-up question, please do write it in the comments below. If you tuned in into the podcast, you can reach out to us on Twitter instead. So please get hold of us there. Subscribe if you haven't already subscribed, either on your podcast player or on YouTube. And we'll be back sometime next week, potentially from our retreat.
Potentially, yes.
We might do a show from there. That'd be quite nice to do that, actually. But yeah, and see you all next time. Goodbye from me.
Bye-bye.